Hello, and welcome to the Sapona Road Church podcast. Today is a great day. It's the day that the Lord has made, and we are excited that you've taken time to join with us as we hear from God's Word. We exist as a church to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope that today's message encourages and blesses you and helps you to grow and mature in your walk and relationship with Him. The word of the Lord is powerful and life-changing, so let's see our lives transformed as we listen.
About what I'm talking about today, and so I was excited from the get-go. I was ready, so, and I'm just thankful for Justin and Kyle and Roger and having that live band this morning. So give them a hand one more time. So if you will turn with me in your Bible to John 11, 43 and 44 are the verses. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." So I want to talk a few minutes about Lazarus this morning. And if you know the story and have read chapter 11, then you know at the very beginning it talks about Lazarus becoming really sick. And he turned really sick, and his sister sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was sick and dying and that he needed to come. But Jesus, he didn't get in a rush. He actually took two more days before he came. And so before heading to Bethany, he took two extra days. Now, Jesus is their friend, and they are in desperate need. And how many know, you know, when you need a friend, you call a friend, you want them right then. Like, if you need to talk to them, you want to talk to them right then. Well, he waited 2 days, and Lazarus was dying. And while they were waiting, he was dead. He died. And so they were heartbroken, and when Jesus got to them, he had been dead for 4 days. And one of the sisters even mentioned that by now he stinks. And Jesus is moved by the tears of one of the sisters, Mary, and he even wept when he saw the grief and saw the pain that they carried. And he loved Lazarus. He loved Mary and Martha very much. And he just grieved with them. And it grieved Jesus to see them hurt and carrying that hurt. And even though it seems like Jesus in the story is too late, because Lazarus is already rotting in a grave, he's not late, guys. Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus comes out of the grave. What a resurrection story. Can you imagine? Can you imagine everyone gathered there when they suddenly see a dead man walking? I mean, I might would have been a little bit, I don't know if I'd have been excited or scared, but I actually thought about naming the message Walking Dead, but I didn't do that. But it is never too late with Jesus. He's always right on time. And why did they have to wait? Why didn't he come before Lazarus passed away? Sometimes I think God uses things like this to help us learn. If we never go through hard seasons, how can we see his faithfulness? How will we learn? God doesn't cause bad things to happen, but he definitely can use them for our good. I think just like he grieved with his friends about Lazarus, he grieves with us during hard times. Nothing is ever wasted, guys. He uses everything for our good. He just has a way of turning what was meant to be bad for us into something beautiful. And he gives us beauty for ashes. So that leads me to a personal testimony that I want to share this morning. that just recently happened. Some of you may know some of the leadership actually went to a conference in January, and I was super excited about going. So it was a conference celebrating the 30th anniversary of the revival of Toronto. And honestly, when Monty and I went, we didn't feel very revived. You've ever been there? I mean, we were spent, just to be really honest. We were feeling very burnt out and heavy with life. And I was so excited about this trip, I couldn't wait to get there. I love the Lord, and I really just was ready to forget about everyday life and focus on Him for a few days with Monty. And I felt we both needed a refreshing. So I went expecting. The services were awesome. The worship was wonderful. There was just a free spirit just in the house every night. And I love being with my friends, all the ones that went, and having time with Monty and the Lord. So Wednesday night was the first night, and they had us form lines, and the prayer team were praying over people. And one lady in particular prayed over Monty and me, and her prayer was really needed, and she prayed for our family, and she touched on several things that had been on our hearts even before the conference, and just was heavy on our hearts, and it was awesome. I could have left right then feeling better and encouraged, but God just wasn't finished yet. So we went through the day Thursday, and it was awesome. And then we had service Thursday night. So on Thursday night, we went to the service, and right after worship, the lady in front of me, she turned to shake my hand, and she smiled at me. And then she got this weird look, like, you know, like she was looking right through me. And so I kind of, it was a little awkward for a second because, you know, she's looking like she's looking deep inside of me. And she got this really stern look, and she was seeing in the spirit, and she just leaned over towards me, and she started brushing my shoulders kind of like this, and she was saying, "You get off of her stress, get off of her depression, go, you have to go in Jesus' name, anxiety, you have to go." And she's just like, I don't know, have you seen someone like shooing a dog or something? Get, you know, that's how her voice was. And she was just a little thing. She actually reminded me a lot of my grandmother, and she had little tiny limbs, so it was kind of hard for her to reach over. And so, but she was praying, and all of a sudden the power of God just hit me so strong that I fell back in my seat. And this sweet little lady was praying and reaching over the chairs with her little arms. And Heather realized what was going on, so she came and began to pray. And I had fallen over my seat and kind of fallen behind Monty because he's sitting beside of me forward. So I'm kind of stuck in between Monty's back in the pew. And this little lady's reaching over trying to grab me. Heather is holding my head, and she's behind Monty in some kind of weird way, just praying. And Heather was praying with a boldness that I really have never heard her pray like before. I mean, it was different. And she was warring in the spirit for me. And she and this little lady that didn't even know my name, she didn't know who I was. And as I fell back, I began to yell out. I couldn't control it. I've never experienced anything like it, but I could not control it. And it was coming deep within me, and it was with a force. And it was, Heather said it was kind of like, I still don't like I was fixing to throw up kind of yell. I mean, it wasn't pretty. And at this point, honestly, y'all, you know, I'm always really self-aware, believe it or not. And I, you know, I worry about what people think at different times. But I didn't care. It didn't matter who was around me, what was going on. Matter of fact, they were taking up the offering. It was not like during an altar service. It was not during, the time to be prayed for. And I'm in the back, and I'm just yelling. I mean, I don't know what they thought, because it was a loud yell. And I was sure I was going to mess the service up, but it didn't. Like, they carried on. This house was so free, and they were so used to the Lord moving while services went on that they were just like, whatever. And we're taking up the offering. And the guy, he began to speak. And he started saying things like, he was talking about a sound mind. Now, he wasn't referring to me, believe it or not, even though I'm yelling out, and he's probably thinking, he was not referring to me, and he was in a whole different lane. But I received his words, and it was the Spirit of God speaking to me as he spoke. And as I yelled, it felt like depression and anxiety and the hurt and sickness were being forced out of my body as I yelled, and I couldn't stop it. And things that I have carried for years. And meanwhile, we were carrying on. They were taking up the offering and everything. And Monty is still leaned over, and I'm in this weird, awkward position. And it was like almost like electricity. Like, I kept jumping. I don't know. I know I looked odd. I'm sure, you know, it probably would be really funny if somebody was videoing it and put it on TikTok or something. But I did not care. And so God was really just working. And there were people there from all over the world. And I heard some guys, and they had an accent. Monty said it sounded like they were from Nigeria. But I don't know. I never got to meet them. I wanted to thank them. But they started praying around me and praying victory and freedom over me and Monty. And I could hear the words, you know, freedom, victory. And it was beautiful. I mean, it's just beautiful. The family of God's beautiful. I felt like I was yelling for like 30 seconds. It didn't seem very long, but Monty informed me later that it was about 15 minutes of yelling. And so much hurt and sickness was being removed from my body. And the rest of the service, I felt really drunk. I was drunk on Jesus. And he was doing a beautiful thing inside of me. And as I released all of this stuff, he was pouring in so much joy, peace, and love. Jesus is my friend, and he did not want to leave me in the condition I was in. And I think it grieved him just like he was grieved when Lazarus died. I think it grieved him to see me in that shape. And the weird part was, I didn't realize I was in need. Like, I felt like everything was going pretty good. You know, I was tired, and I just felt like I needed a refueling, but I had no idea I was in the shape I was in and that I was carrying everything that I was carrying. And I go every 2 weeks for a massage. I know I'm spoiled. Being in the back spoils me. But it's actually really necessary because I have headaches and trouble with my back and neck. And to function, I have to do that. And anyways, I had noticed for several months that they were not really effective. Like, I would leave and I was still just as tight as when I showed up. And normally it does help, but I just felt so tight. I wasn't really listening to my body. You know, sometimes we get in bad shape and our body's trying to tell us, because God made us, he's made us very amazing. We're amazing. And my body was trying to tell me what shape I was in, but I wasn't listening. I really did not know I was in such bad shape. And I didn't realize where I was at physically and emotionally. So that night, I was so free. Chains of depression and sickness were just lifted. And I felt like a million bucks. And not only was my body free from all that I had been carrying, but my mind felt sharp and clear, and it was amazing. And I woke up around 4:30 in the morning just like, wide, and I'm not a morning person. I mean, I usually am dragging in the morning. I woke up at 4:30. I started moving all around. I was like, oh, that's just, and I leaned over. I said, Monty. And I mean, he's snoring. I said, I'm really healed. No, like, really, I'm healed. He's healed me. And Monty is, half asleep. He goes, that's really good, babe. And he goes right back to snoring. And I'm just like up. So the next morning, I was dancing around the hotel room. I was actually singing Earth, Wind, and Fire. I was in show choir, and we used to sing the song Fantasy. So I was doing all my movements to Fantasy. I mean, I was just on cloud nine. I could not wait to get to this meeting. I felt so creative and on fire. And I have several times throughout then and now moved my back around and thought, wow, he really did heal me. You know, I don't know. It's just like a shocker. I mean, sometimes it feels easier to pray for others and believe for their healing than to believe for our own self. I don't know if we just don't feel we're worth it or that we deserve it, but I'm still in awe at everything that he's done for me. What a friend we have in Jesus. So many of us are walking around with a pulse, but not really living abundantly. And that's what I'm talking about today. Most of you probably know that I have been battling mold illness for years. And I recently was put on a new medication because they felt like, although I was so much better from the beginning of my journey, that I was at a standstill. My mold levels were just staying the same, and they were not going back. My levels weren't going back to normal. So the doctor felt like the mold was at a cellular level. So they put me on this medication. And what I dealt with mold illness was like I felt like I was in a brain fog. And it's really scary. You know, you start thinking about, you know, your family history and different things, and you're wondering, you know, am I ever going to have my mind back? You know, I just couldn't think and just felt like brain fog constantly. So at one point in my journey, I could watch a movie and then watch it again the next week, and it'd be like a brand new movie. So it was really easy for Monty to entertain me, you know, because I could watch a movie every week, and it was like a brand new one. If some parts maybe felt a little familiar, but it was like a brand new movie to me. And so it's a little scary when you're going through something like that. But after this encounter, I felt so clear in my mind, more than I have in years. I felt creative, and I've always been really a creative person, so it felt so good. And the Lord showed Heather, as she was praying for me, that I was always trying to fit a mold that I thought people would like. And I've struggled over the years with my identity and just wanting to feel loved and belong. I wanted to belong. So I try to fit in this little mold, you know. And she saw the mold I was trying to fit into being broke off. And the Lord also showed her that it was twofold. God was breaking the mold that I was trying to fit into. And he also was breaking up the mold illness that I carried in my body. She saw that as I was yelling out, she said it was the mold being released from my body. And God was breaking the mold so I could be who he created me to be, which is breaking off the fear of man, you know, and trying to, I want everybody to like me. Come on, guys. And then, can somebody say hallelujah? Have you been there? And he was breaking off the mold illness in my body. And all I've got to say is thank you, Jesus. It's been amazing. I am free from all the hurt caused by others, because I've had a lot of church hurt through the years like you couldn't imagine. If I told you some of my story, you'd be shocked. He's freed me from sickness. And all fear of man. And I just want to do whatever God wants for me. I want to do it regardless of what anybody thinks. You see, I'm not in the grave anymore. I'm not bound. I'm saved. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm blood bought. I'm a child of the King of Kings. I'm not surviving anymore, but I'm thriving. And I want you to thrive too. I want all of us to thrive too. If you remember in the story of Lazarus and the scripture, if he wants to put that up again. At the end, Lazarus walked out of the grave and he was alive. But what was going on with him? He was still bound. The grave clothes were still on him. They were wrapped around his face, his hands, his limbs. And he was still bound. And that's how some of us are. We know the Lord and we're saved. We're still bound. We're walking around with the grave clothes on. And we're not living the abundant life that God has for us. So in John 10:10, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. What does abundant living look like? I can promise you that it is not wearing grave clothes. It's not being bound. The definition of abundance is plentiful, exceedingly, beyond measure, more than one could expect or anticipate. Y'all, it's a good thing. And I want to see everyone free and living the abundant life that Christ has given us. Sure, we're going to go through hard times. We are. But there's freedom in Him. We do not have to be bound. So how do we do this? You know, a lot of times we preach these messages, but then you don't know what to do. So I want to tell you what I think you should do. So what do we do? Number one, be sold out. Surrender everything to God. Everything. Everything within you. Number two, renew your mind. How do we do that? With the Word of God, with our prayer life, with our worship time. I'm going to worship like never before. You're probably going to think I'm a little weird up here. I probably already look a little weird. I don't care. He deserves every bit of praise that I can give him. Okay? And then we have to, number three, examine and prune yourself routinely for anything that's trying to hinder or take root, any kind of stronghold in your life. We've got to prune it. We've got to recognize it. We've got to examine ourselves and recognize it and pluck that stuff out so that we can be who God created us to be and we can live the abundant life. Examples of maybe things you need to prune would be unforgiveness, not forgiving yourself, not forgiving God, not forgiving others. Bad habits that would harden our heart and would cause problems with our relationship with God and with others. Your relationship with God is key to everything. Which leads me back to number one. What was that? Be sold out and surrender everything. So those are the three things that I would recommend. And I have one more story. As Heather was praying for our family, she saw a pool of water. And she saw Monty on the side of the water, and he was testing it. You know how you do when you think the water's cold, and you're just like, I don't know if I want to do this. Kind of put your toe in, maybe your foot. You might sit on the side and put your feet in it a little bit. But, you know, that water's cold, so you just, I don't know. I don't know if I want to jump in or not. But then she said in the middle of the pool of water, she saw the shadow of the Father. And all of a sudden, Monty saw the Father. And when he did, he ran and did a cannonball and jumped all the way in, going after the Father. And you know what happened after that? She saw Roger and Sarah. Those are our kids. And they were on the side of the water. And when they saw Daddy jump in, guess what happened? They got the courage, And they jumped in, cannonball, all the way. And so I want you to jump in. And when you're ready to jump all the way into freedom and give everything to God like we've been talking about, others will follow you. When you do a cannonball, others are going to get wet. And they're going to want to jump in the pool of freedom too. And when you tear off the grave clothes or whatever is holding you back from abundant life, others will tear their grave clothes off too, because they'll see your freedom and they'll have the courage to jump too. So I dare you to jump this morning. And whatever's holding you back from the abundant life, let God remove it. And if you can't think of anything, just start asking God for more. Because when you start asking him for more and he starts giving you more, all the other things are going to be pulled to the side.
We are so happy that you joined us today. If you are interested in learning about or giving to this ministry, you can find more information at SaponaRoadChurch.com. If you are local to the Fayetteville, North Carolina area, our meeting times are 10:45 a.m. Sunday mornings and 7 o'clock p.m. Wednesdays for our Connect groups. From all of us here at Sapona Road Church, we hope that you have a great day as you walk in the Lord's favor and blessing.